Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
Did you see they say the signature of Carol Baskin's husband on the will was probably forged? Possibly forged?
No.
We're not on the radio right now. This is just podcast. So I can't appeal to Carol Baskin because I don't think she listens to the podcast, but I think she listens to the radio show. But I would. I'd play like sappy music and be like, Carol, I believe you, and then try to get her to come on. I'm not going to do that here. The signature of Carol Baskin's husband, possibly forged on will. Will signatures and power of attorney documents related to Don Lewis, the long-missing second husband of Carol Baskin, appears to be forgeries, a fact that could play into a possible trial. Quote, it's not a difficult call, says handwriting expert Thomas Vastrick. I'm going to need more than one handwriting expert that's getting in the news, you know?
Yeah, maybe like three or four.
Do we really think she killed him, though? I don't. I don't think she killed her husband. I think he left. I think he's probably with some much younger woman on an island somewhere.
Well, can he just come forward so we can know?
Why would he? Unless you want... Can you imagine how famous he would be if he came back? He probably doesn't want that. He's probably drinking his pina coladas with his...
Hanging out, chilling.
Yeah. Well...
I wonder if he's watched Tiger King.
Bro, for sure. That's why he's hiding. If you were him, wouldn't you hide? And you had been hiding the whole time?
Yeah, but I mean, I think he was already hiding the whole time. Yeah, like he's gone.
Yeah.
Like he wanted out of that, so he faked his death. I mean, or faked that, yeah, he's no longer around. Right? Because there is no body, so we don't know.
Yeah, right.
What he was trying to do.
Five athletes who could be candidates for the Last Dance treatment. Which, by the way, you know, I finally saw the last episode last night. Such a great series. And I wasn't a Michael Jordan fan as a kid. Actually, I didn't like the Bulls because I thought everybody was just jumping on the bandwagon. And I'm not a big bandwagon guy. But it was an amazing series. They didn't finish editing it until just recently. As it was going, they were still working on it while the show was even being shown. But I thought it was a great series. Amy watched one or two episodes?
Two.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Really
that,
good.
I'm lucky that Caitlin is such a sports fan. And she's a diehard Oklahoma State Thunder fan and loves the NBA, and we really just sat and enjoyed all episodes. We kind of made an appointment. We didn't watch it live. We watched, you know, one, waited the next night, watched another. What are you going to say, Amy?
Well, I'll say to anybody listening that isn't necessarily a sports fan like me, my opinion is that you will like The Last Dance. It's really well done. Like, I will at some point maybe watch the other ones, but those are just ones I caught with my husband.
Well, this whole article was Ken Griffey Jr. Do you know anything about him? Him and his dad played
no,
on the same
do
team. He was so young and, you know, got drafted as a teenager that him and his dad played on the same major league team for a while.
Major league baseball?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
But think about that. A son and a father both being good enough to be professional in their athletic prime to play at the same time.
Yeah, didn't that happen to Romeo or...
Lil Romeo? No, his dad was just a rapper. And he didn't play in the NBA.
Who's a Romeo?
Lil Romeo. Okay, well, I mean, they were both rappers.
Yes.
And they're not athletes.
Lil Romeo went to USC and played basketball. I don't think he finished.
Why did I think his dad played basketball? Okay, whatever.
But people, next, you know, people are thinking LeBron's waiting around for his son to be in the NBA and play on the same team.
He's in high school? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bash Brothers, who were Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, Shaquille O'Neal, Mike Tyson. Man, that would be a cool one to watch. But yes. Hasn't there been a bunch of Mike Tyson stuff or no? Like a 30 for... I know there's been a 30 for 30 that had some Mike Tyson in it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Mike Tyson stuff.
You know he's going to probably fight Evander Holyfield.
Made me watch.
What?
Something.
I think he's going to fight Evander Holyfield for charity.
Wow. That's crazy, because Amy, what happened the last time he fought Evander Holyfield?
Like, he bit his ear?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, the 98 U.S. men's national soccer team. So those are the ones they say could be the next one. You know, Kobe did the same thing before his final season in the NBA. He had the camera. He gave them all access to his final season. So that'll be there at some point.
Yes.
What do you think about that, Amy?
I think that would be really interesting. I think they're really well done, so I can assume that Kobe fans would love that.
Yeah. I gotta go. We're not doing a long show today. Hey, Ray, what's the... Oh, we gotta do a draft update.
Mm-hmm.
Hit that imaging.
Pulling it up.
All right.
Right here.
Let's go.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Draft update.
Lunchbox won the canned food draft. Amy, you finished last.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Domination is over here. Thank you to everybody that voted for me. It was a really good draft. Soup, Pringles, and nuts. I mean, a home run team. I really appreciate you guys realizing what the good teams were and voting for it.
Mike D put a note that said Amy and Eddie basically just rotate who finishes last each week, and it's
that is true. It's very true. I have no idea.
Yeah, you finished well. You and Morgan, number two, both finished with 12%, but you had less overall votes. So Morgan, were you sweating it?
Oh, I was. I was like, oh, gosh, I'm going to lose this one. But I felt that after my picks. It was a rough one.
The rankings, I'm in the lead. Yeah. Morgan, number two, and Lunchbox are at five, and Amy has a win. Still no wins for Raymundo or Eddie.
Nice. Fun time.
the other thing is...
Good draft.
Was going to get a Raymundo update on the quilt real quick, Ray.
Yeah, the update is... Hoping still to get that $100 back. My mom has started on the quilt. She's going to try and go for some... blacks, yellows, reds, some hoodie colors. There's going to be a blowfish on there. She says it'll take a month. She's going to bring it down middle of June.
I have the real update because it just said on my note, Ray, there's an update. It says this. It's from Hillary. I saw Ray tweet PayPal trying to get money for that quilt. Quote, I need a refund on an item. Quilt scam I paid for with PayPal. But y'all don't have any agents answering phones. Help, Diddy.
Yeah, I tried with the phone number. Apparently, because of coronavirus, they're not answering. So, also did Twitter. That really was a dead end. So, I just called my bank, and I think they're going to dominate it. They said, give us 10 days, and you'll have $100.
What about? I thought it was more than that.
No, that was the additional money you were giving me, but the amount was really just $96.
Wait, so you're going to get money back and keep all the money?
No. I also have to pay my mother. I told her I was going to pay her minimum wage. So hopefully I can turn a profit at the end of this. But it's not going to be that original $100 amount that I was able to get from you.
Look at that tank top Ray's got on today. Stars and stripes, baby, huh?
just the stars.
Yeah!
Oh, by the way, before I get going here, let me play this voicemail from Samantha in Central Illinois. Here you go.
Morning, studio. I just wanted to say that I would love to hear more of Raymundo on the show. I think he is so funny. I am always cracking up laughing. And he also makes Bobby laugh, and your laugh, Bobby, makes me laugh even more. And I also want to say that me and Raymundo are actually getting married on the same date this year. So congrats, Ray and Bay. I hope that we both get to have our wedding and that all works out.
There you go. What do you want to say back to Samantha in Central Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, we're going through with our wedding. I had some people hit us up and say that they're pushing theirs to 2021. We thought that we can risk it, honestly, and just do it, and it'll work out. So I think the same for you. And thank you for the kind words. That was awesome. Appreciate it.
There you go. All right. I want to part with this. A couple thoughts. I do not think Carol Baskin killed her husband. Thought one. Thought two. Congratulations to Lunchbox for winning the draft. Thought three.
Yeah.
Amy, how do you lose so much?
I don't know.
Thought four.
It's so...
I'm just giving thoughts here.
All right, no comment.
Thought four, Raymundo, I think you should pay your mom more than minimum wage. And thought five, I hope everybody checks out that show. We're about to get into it here. There's a new Bobbycast up where Eddie and I talk about all these artists that don't have a Grammy. They're considered the greatest artists of all time. And then we just actually debate if they're great or not. Like, would you say Kid Rock is one of the greats, Amy?
He's great. Yeah. Yeah. I would assume he has a Grammy.
No is Grammy. He doesn't have a Grammy. But would you say he's one of them they list as one of the greats who doesn't have a Grammy? What we debate is he great or not? But we do it with like 15 people. Would you say Kid Rock is great or not?
I think he's a great that doesn't have a Grammy.
You think he's a great? I also said he was a great. I think Eddie didn't.
I did not.
Oh, Eddie, have you seen him live?
No, I've never seen him live.
Oh, then that'll change it for you. Like, he's really good live.
But these are like musical greats, right? They have a whole GOAT list.
The great Sammy, the great.
Another one is Rascal Flatts. Now, we debated if they were great or not, because they don't have a Grammy. Would you say Rascal Flatts are great, as in one of the greats, Amy?
Yes.
I said I said the same thing. Eddie did not.
Yeah, I said no.
Eddie was just a hater.
I wonder if Amy's going to say no to any of these, though.
Okay, okay.
Well, I mean, I'll give you
one more.
Okay.
Nickelback. They have so many hits. Are they one of the greats?
Okay, I mean, I wouldn't put them up there as one of the greats.
But would you say they're one of the greats?
I'm not shocked they don't have a Grammy, so. Nice.
They've been nominated 6 times.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Like, if you were to ask me, I'd be like, for Rascal Flatts and Kid Rock, I would say, yeah, they have Grammys. For Nickelback, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think they'd have.
But in the rock
not
category?
Not that they're not talented.
Okay, anyway, I said they were one of the greats, and Eddie wouldn't even mention their name out loud. He doesn't even speak their name.
Did you say no to any of them?
Yeah.
No, Bobby said no to some.
I said no to some, yeah. All right, check it out. It's the latest BobbyCast. Search BobbyCast. All right, we're out. Enjoy the show today. I got to run. Show's a little shorter right now, but you're going to hear some cool interviews on today's radio show. All right, bye, guys. Hey, good morning. And morning, studio.
Morning.
Got a voicemail here from, it just says anonymous. Here you go.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I'm a little intoxicated right now, and I just wanted to say thank you for the voicemail line, because instead of drunk dialing my ex, I've drunk dialed the Bobby Bones show. I love y'all.
There you go. Call us. If you know there's somebody you shouldn't be calling, just call us and leave it on the voicemail. Better than them hearing it. 877-77-BOBBY. Man, Amy, you good over there?
Yeah, doing good. Just wish I had gotten more sleep last night. Stevenson slept in our room, and he snores.
Your 9-year-old son snores?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I shouldn't call it snoring. It's more like breathing loudly.
That's snoring.
Something. Okay, but it's not like a manly snore. It's kind of cute, but when you're trying to go to sleep, it's not that cute.
Right.
But we ended up letting him sleep with us for the first time ever because, you know, yesterday I told you about how the night before he swears he saw somebody in our house with a flashlight. And then my husband didn't disclose to him that we didn't set the alarm that night. Yeah. So then I started to get nervous that someone was in our house. But then I started to think, if someone was snooping around our house, why would they use a flashlight?
I mean, sometimes you see burglars with flashlights, right?
I just feel like that is...
I mean, no, you're right. That's what I should say. You know what? Good point, Amy.
I know. And so my husband didn't find anything on our camera footage or anything, so we don't really think someone's in our house. But he's convinced someone was, and he's scared. So he could not sleep in his own room. He was so terrified. And we do not let our kids sleep with us. So... this was new for us, and we made him a pallet on the floor.
Oh, yeah? So you didn't get good sleep last night?
Uh-uh.
Mm.
Nope.
Well,
yeah.
A little drama over here. So what's happened was somebody got Caitlin's email address. First, they were kind of harassing her on Instagram, and now they have her email address, and so they email her, and they're like, you know Bobby has 10 other girlfriends. You know he's cheating on you. And I don't know how, we don't know how they got her email address. But we have a forensic computer guy that has actually tracked it down to the town they live in. Isn't it crazy they can do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. My husband tells me it's possible, but that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much know who it is now, but we've been dealing with that for the past couple of days. I was just like, I don't want to deal with this bull crap. And so, yeah, and I don't know how they found her personal email address or how they got it, but that's been happening over here.
Well, she knows it's not true, right?
Well, that's what I say, but it still affects her.
I know, but it's not true.
No, of course it's not true. I mean, never in a million years.
I know. I was just clarifying for you.
Yeah.
I got your back.
But now it's like, what do we do next? Do we... I don't know. I don't even want to say too much.
Right.
But we have both had our own version of drama happening at the same time.
What was yours?
I just told you. Somebody's emailing my...
Oh, I thought, you and I. I thought you meant you and Caitlin both had. And I'm like, oh, well, that was Caitlin's drama. What was yours?
Oh, no. I meant like you and I. You know, we're doing the show together here.
Yeah. Us.
It's a story I was talking about, Amy. So Chuck E. Cheese is delivering pizza during the coronavirus pandemic, sort of. Yeah. But they also know no one wants to buy the pizza from Chuck E. Cheese. So it's operating a restaurant under a different name. So if you look up and it's Pasquale's Pizza and Wings, that's what you're ordering from, you end up getting Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh.
Because Pasquale is one of the Chuck E. Cheese characters. And so they, because I'm going to be honest, if I were looking for pizza and there were two options and one of them was Chuck E. Cheese, because you go to Chuck E. Cheese for the robot dancers and the fun for kids more than you do the quality of pizza. Can we agree on that?
Agree. Yes, yes. For sure.
I wouldn't order it if it were Chuck E. Cheese. If it were the only pizza, I would. But I go, but if it's like, huh, Pasquale's Pizza and Wings? That sounds like some sort of Italian and wings. I'd probably get some wings too. Well, a company spokesperson told Food and Wine magazine that Pasquale's shares kitchen space with the Chuck E. Cheese restaurant, but spokesperson said the pizza is not exactly the same. Mike, Mike was telling me about this too. What do you think about this?
I think it's the exact same because I saw somebody post their like back and forth with their delivery driver, and they're like, "I just drove up to a Chuck E. Cheese. I was confused too."
Yeah. So even the people that are going to get the food at like Uber Eats or Postmates, they're confused looking for Pasquale's when they have to go to Chuck E. Cheese to get it.
Yeah.
But it is pretty smart, right? Because they know people aren't going to ask for specific Chuck E. Cheese pizza. But then Applebee's in some places was doing the same thing, right?
Yeah. They were using a different name so people would order for them.
Social media users have been reporting that various Applebee's locations have been delivering under the name Neighborhood Wings. Which, by the way, I love Applebee's. What in the world is wrong with Applebee's? I would order from Applebee's. Applebee's, I know what the food is. Chuck E. Cheese, I know what the music is. But that's not illegal, right?
No.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they just open up and operate under that business name. And honestly, the pizza, just somewhere in our brain, thinking that Pasquale's sounds more legit, we'll probably think the pizza tastes more legit.
Yes. Okay. But Chuck E. Cheese pizza just isn't that good because it doesn't have to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go there for everything else, and you also have pizza while you're there. By the way, this is not a hater conversation. I think it's smart on their part to change the name to order to in order to keep their business alive. Anyway, I thought that was funny, don't you?
Yeah, I like it.
We love hearing from you guys. You can hit us up, email us. We got a mailbag. Let's open it up.
Bobby's mailbag.
Hey guys, this is Johnny. He writes, I'm listening to you all right now on my iHeartRadio app from my home office, aka my bedroom. Things have been a little tense in my house since my wife realized that I didn't post a picture of her on Instagram and tell everyone it was her birthday and how much I loved her. She showed me all of the posts her friends and family put up about her, but she didn't get one from me. I didn't think I had to. And if I knew how mad she was going to get, I would have made for sure to post one. What do I do? How do I make it up to her publicly? What do I do? Signed, Johnny. It's interesting. Amy, you're up first.
Wow. I mean, that's rough. I don't know. I don't think that it's something you did on purpose, but you could say something here on the radio and be like, happy birthday. This is pretty public, probably more public than your Instagram. So maybe we could arrange that. I feel bad for you. And next year, know what's up.
Okay, so you say just use this as a learning tool for next year.
Yeah, but I mean, the obvious, explain to her that you did not mean to hurt her feelings. And I'm wondering why she had that expectation. I don't know what the years past have been like, but I guess maybe it's just different because of quarantine, and she probably didn't get a real birthday celebration, so she might be nitpicking at other things that haven't bothered her like last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to pinpoint how he would not know if his wife would want that or not.
Well, I'm going to give you the real answer. This is what you should do. There's only one solution, Johnny, to get out of this. First of all, it is to apologize. Don't try to get your way out of it like, well, just go and be like, I really screwed up. I am so stupid. I should have put it up on Instagram. But now I'm going to make it up to you plus. And it's not about putting up a belated Instagram message. It's about, I messed up and now I will make it up to you plus. And that's it. There's really nothing you can do.
Can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
I think it's okay to apologize for like, man, I'm sorry that that hurt your feelings. But it sounds to me like he did not know that he should have done that. Because, no. But
yes.
That's what, sorry.
If everybody else knows her and is putting up Instagram and she loves it and he's the only one who doesn't know her that well?
Well, I just don't know that a lot of guys are dialed into that they need to be putting up a happy birthday message to their wife on Instagram. Like, I don't know. I just... Maybe because my husband's not a big social media guy. I guess I don't know. So I'm leaning into that. But maybe he is. Maybe he's on social every day. Maybe he gives birthday shout outs and she's like, wait, where's mine? Well, like, I don't know. But I just don't know that it's fair to be like, I should have done that. Because maybe he truly didn't know.
I feel like most people are on Instagram. Your husband's not on Instagram at all. Most people are on Instagram. And if everybody else knew that she would like it and he's the one who didn't know she would like it and didn't do it, I feel like that's on him. You have to know your wife. Know the room, you know?
Know your audience.
And if you didn't know, then know and apologize for not knowing. So
yeah, that's, I'm down with that.
Read the room, brah. But you didn't do it. Apologize because that's what she wanted. And then make it up to her. Plus, and tell her, this, I messed up. First of all, you have to admit to that because that's the only way she's going to get over it. If you're like, well, I'm sorry, but here's what I'm going to do now and I'll never do it again. And that's how I get out of most trouble in my relationship. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. Here's what I'm going to make up for it. If you want to send us an email, you can. Hey, Morgan, if they want to email us on the mailbag, what do they do?
Just hit up mailbag@bobbybones.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Johnny. Hope you find some advice there that you like, and we'll do you some good, but just apologize. Always apologize. All right. Thank you. Amy, give me your favorite summer job that you ever had.
When I was a nanny.
Oh, what'd that entail?
Oh, it was amazing because the family was so awesome. They already had a nanny for one of their kids, and then the mom was having twins as well, so they're about to have three. And they were very busy, so and successful and had a lot going on, so they needed like an extra side nanny. So in high school, I got to be the side nanny.
Wow.
It was amazing.
But what did you do as a side nanny?
Oh, just whatever kind of the nanny needed help with. I would, they ended up really using me for errands and the grocery runs. But a lot of times I would be with the kids a little bit, but not full control. But I loved the errands part. I got to go to Target and the grocery store and use their credit card and get whatever. It felt amazing.
I was listening to Luke Combs talk about a summer job that he had. He was talking about working at a go-kart place. Here's a clip of that.
I worked at a go-kart place for most of my summers, a place called Fun Depot. That was a fun gig, man. A bunch of my friends worked there and stuff. And so, man, we would just hang out and drink some beers we shouldn't have drank. But that was kind of it, you know. That was kind of North Carolina. You know, we go downtown and have dinner or what teenagers do, you know.
Whenever I was 16, 17 years old, I worked at a marina. And I did everything from bag ice to... you know, put crickets in cones. I did a lot of bait work, fixed boats, not deep down fixing, but I could fix some of the outer stuff. I moved barges, rented barges. I mean, I was Mr. Water. And a lot of girls, like teenagers, would come through with their families. And I had like three girlfriends when I was 16. They were only like 3 weeks each, but I was like the marina boy, you know? It was a pretty good job for me. Yeah. And we had a Mountain Dew slushy machine. And I just drank unlimited Mountain Dew slushies all the time. And it was the greatest slushie. But that was and I remember that this, you know how you remember times with songs? And I remember Fastball, and they had a song called The Way, and it would come on the radio every day because the radio would be on the station called KLAZ. And I would hear, directly attention, and then it would go, they made up their minds, then they started. Here's a clip of that song that just reminds me of working at the marina. Here you go.
We made up their minds.
Do you know the same?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It just reminds me of summers as a teenager grinding it out in that marina, man. That's good. You know, with the summer being weird, you can have a lot of kids not being able to not only get into graduate high school to go to prom, but not really being able to live their summer work, you know? And that stinks.
Yeah. A lot of like service type jobs. Like so many people get to be a hostess or a waiter and they're 16 and they're so excited to go do that. And now they maybe can't.
Oh, I was a waiter for a long time too. For years I was a waiter. I worked my way up though because I started washing dishes and I'm a germaphobe and I hate it. I hate germs. before Corona, I was already living the Corona life. But you talk about, for someone who does not like disgusting things, that was the worst job I possibly could have had. But I was the greatest dishwasher in the history of dishwashers. One, because I knew that I wouldn't want to get a plate with anything gross on it. I wanted to clean it like I was about to get the plate. And then two, I wanted to not do it anymore. And the quickest way to get out of a bad situation is to work your way out of a bad situation. And I worked so hard and I let people know. I said, I don't want to be a dishwasher. So I'm going to do these dishes the best I can possibly do, but I want out of here. And so I went from a dishwasher, and I was the best, to I was a busboy after that. Still gross, but less gross. And I got tips split with me from waiters. And then I was a good busboy, and then I got to be a waiter. And that was kind of my progression there. But that was a pretty baller job. I wore a tuxedo to work every day. That was annoying, but it also was kind of cool when I could keep it clean, but I had to wear the same. I only had one tuxedo. And my grandma had like patched it together with different kinds of clothes. Like pants didn't really match, but once you're in a dark restaurant, it all looks the same. Like the blacks were all different.
Yeah.
And one time somebody stole my vest. I had my vest. I laid it on the couch when I was, you know, those vacuums that you kind of, there's no motor in it, and you just kind of push it back and forth. You'll see it in restaurants. It's like a push back and forth, a square bottom. You familiar with what I'm talking about at all?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I was doing that in the lobby, and someone saw my vest on a couch because I took it off to back. And they took it, and they ran out with it. And I ran out that door. I was like, that's my vest, because it's the only vest I had. And I had to be dressed for work. But, man, I started thinking about some back in the day. Those are some pretty good memories. You never really know how great the memories are until you kind of look back at them and go, man, I thought I was really struggling then, but it was really the best times. Dang. Hey, speaking of the best times, I wanted to ask you, Amy, you talked to Robin Roberts yesterday, is that right?
I did.
I know you were kind of nervous about this. She's been a hero of yours for a long time. How did that go?
I mean, it went great. It went really well. I was told that I was going to have about 15 minutes, so I know how that I am with talking, and I was so excited, so I really wanted to respect her time, so I had pretty much all my stuff planned out of what I knew I wanted to say, and that way it left her a lot of room to answer, and then I set a timer right when we started, so that way I could cut it off when it was time, and I kept trying to cut her off, Bobby, and we ended up talking for 38 minutes.
Oh, great. That means she was enjoying the interview. I mean, That's the biggest sign, because she could have cut it off and been nice at 15. They said, hey, we're out of time. But she probably told someone, hey, we're good. This is happening.
Yeah. I mean, well, and I had her on Zoom so I could see her face, and that was really helpful. And yeah, her publicist had called my husband's cell phone, and he put it on speaker so she could hear what I was saying, because they're obviously not in the same place. And so I was like, okay, this is all very legit. So I really wanted to follow the rules. And she just kept talking. And I thought, okay, you can go, Robin, you can go now. And she was just the nicest, warmest, kindest, encouraging. She was all the things. You know how you don't, I've admired her for a very long time. And you and I have talked about when you meet somebody that you've really admired, sometimes it can be like, wah, wah, wah. But I feel great about it. It was awesome.
Well, that's great. She's always been super cool and super nice to me, too. So I'm glad. It'll be up on Thursday's Four Things podcast, right?
Yeah. And she did. You came up a few times while she was talking, and very complimentary of whatever. I can't remember exactly what, but I'll get you the clip so you can know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got to talk to her. That's pretty cool.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Sydney, Australia. A 25-year-old man broke into the museum, wanted to take some selfies with the dinosaur exhibit. So he's there on camera taking pictures, stole a cowboy hat and some artwork. Only problem is he put those selfies on social media and he got busted.
Wow, he posted those, huh?
Yeah, posted the selfies with the dinosaurs.
But why would you take them if you wouldn't post them? See, you're stuck. Because you shouldn't do it, but then you get it. And you can't have them and not post them. Torn.
That posting is where they get.
I know, but that post is what you got to do. You didn't go take a selfie for no reason. Yeah, you just shouldn't go in and break into places you shouldn't be. All right, there you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Come on! It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this 15-year-old, Hita Gupta, and she volunteers at a nursing home, but she hasn't been able to because the nursing homes are shut down to visitors right now. So she's not letting her volunteering stop, though. She's putting together these goodie bags and dropping them off at different nursing homes.
Nice.
23 nursing homes. That's how many she's hit up in the Philadelphia area. And inside, she puts a large print puzzle book, an adult coloring book, and coloring pencils because she hopes that her activities will help stimulate their minds, which is exactly what they do need. And then this is kind of just icing on the cake. She includes a note of encouragement, which her 9-year-old brother writes.
Wow.
So they're like a tag team.
Hey, shout out to their parents, too, because they raised those kids right. What's her name again?
Hita Gupta.
Nice. There. Hita, if you're listening by any chance, keep doing what you're doing. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good. Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Brothers Osborne.
John, TJ, how are you guys?
Good, how are you, buddy? Good, how are yourself?
Hey, real good. I always love it when you guys put out new music. You know, other than just being a bud, I'm a huge fan of you guys. So congratulations, and morally, congratulations to me for getting new Brothers Osborne music. That's where the congratulations needs to go. What do you guys?
You're welcome, Bobby. That's
right. What do you guys been up to?
God, we've been, you know, probably a lot of what everyone's been up to. These past couple months have been very interesting. We've been finished with this album for, it's been at like 95%. For the past couple months, and then we had that tornado that hit, and then right after that we went into isolation, obviously with the quarantine stuff. So our record's been right at the finish line for months, and we just went in and finished it up this past 2 weeks. So right now we're excited to kind of, even though we're not touring right now, it's nice to get back out and promote this music. So this is feeling good.
They got a new song called All Night, which I'm going to play in a second. We'll conclude the interview and I'll play the whole song. But what I want to do, and I don't know if you've ever been asked this before, John, but I'm going to play a little bit of the guitar solo real quick just so my audience can hear it. So here you go. Here's some of the guitar solo from All Night. Here you go. All night. All right. All right. All right. I see you. Now, I see you. But here's my question. This is a very guitar-heavy song. When you set out to write a guitar solo, do you ever have to listen back to other solos to make sure you don't kind of do a solo like you've done on other songs?
No, never do that. It's a really good question. You definitely want to just do whatever comes naturally and off the cuff. However, it's funny that you mentioned that because Lucy and I were riding around in my truck just two nights ago listening to the mixes for the rest of the record, and she was like, man, I love the solo on this song. Didn't you already play that part on another song? And I was like, yeah, I totally get burned.
You called me out.
See, we go next level with our questions here when we talk to you guys. This is not just what you do in quarantine. Like, I want to know if you've ever stolen your own guitar solo on another song.
You know, well, I think if you're smart, you can rip yourself off and then sue yourself. I think you make double the amount of money somehow.
Times are getting tight, Bobby.
Yeah.
Except the attorney will be the only one making money that you had to hire to sue yourself. Yeah. Hey, John, one last question for you about quarantine. Did you ever think about shaving your beard? Everybody was doing funny stuff. You got the big beard. Do you ever think about cutting it off?
You know, I've thought about it. Well, they said if you shave your, like, I guess it makes it worse, right? Like, you're more susceptible to getting ill. But to be honest with you, man, I don't know what's going on back there. I'm kind of afraid. I don't think I have a chin anymore, to be honest with you. It's like, I shave it off, it'll just be like the bottom of my lip and then my Adam's apple. There's like nothing there.
On with us right now, TJ and John from Brothers Osborne. Hey, TJ, you ever go through a drive-thru, and since you have such a distinct, deep voice, someone recognizes you by your voice?
I've had a couple people recognize you by my voice. However, I've also had a couple people think that I was Josh Turner.
That's funny. you guys been feeling the pressure to tip on delivery orders more than you would, not just because of Corona, but because you're rising ascent into superstardom?
Yeah, that is a thing. I'm sure you felt that too. What about you?
Well, it's just, I don't feel like most people know who I am, especially when I have my glasses on. Like, nobody cares about
me.
They
do now.
Well.
Everyone knows who you are. I feel the same way, but that's like, God, you don't want to be known for being a bad tipper. We also, like most people in the music business, worked in the service industry. So we already, even when we were broke, we still tipped pretty good.
Yeah.
And we frequent a lot of the same places over and over again. So, I think we're good tippers. Yeah, sure.
I feel this. I worked as a waiter for a long time, as you guys know. When you have to depend on other people to make sure you can pay rent, you often look out for other people so they can pay their rent.
1,000%.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious because this is the first song from a new project, and I got a little line here. It says, the details of which have not been announced. So that sounds vague. I don't quite know, but what are we talking about here on this new? Do you have a new sound? Are you guys doing more polka? Well, like, what are we doing here with the whole new Brothers Osborne?
The rest of the record, you know, I think with Fort St. Joe, we were really proud of that record, but it's pretty chill, and we played it a lot live, and we kind of felt like for this next project, it'd be really fun to have a lot of material that works really well in a live setting, because that's really our favorite thing to do is perform live. Yeah. And so this record, we were definitely going for more up-tempo stuff, things that were just kind of immediately just kind of hooked you. So I think this is a good example of some other things that are on the album. But at the same time, we also are really big on having dynamics, not only in our set, but on our albums. So I think when you listen to it, it does have some good dynamics to it, but there's a lot more tempo and upbeat feeling stuff in this. And I also feel like it's kind of what we do. We finally started really honing in on that very specific thing that we do. And I think this is just a really good concentrated version of what we sound like, as opposed to our last two records.
Amy, what do you think about this?
They're sound in their records?
Just what do you think in general? Here they are. What do you want to ask them?
I want to know who's on TJ's shirt. All I see is hair, and I'm guessing it's Reba, but...
Who is it? Patty. Oh, it's Patty.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we can only see the top of the
I
hair.
Love Patty.
Now we see her.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, I see it now. But really, from the bangs up, I was thought you were rocking the Reba.
No, I don't see you anymore. It's
good. Oh, I know. And we're moving now, too. So we wouldn't have been neighbors much longer anyway. But are you liking the country or wherever you went?
You guys are all talking over. Let me be the referee here as you guys talk over each other. So Amy had someone come up to her house and just knock on the door and say, we'd like to buy your house. She thought it was a scam. It wasn't. A day later, she sold her house cash to these people who just showed up at her door. So now she's having to move real quick.
Damn.
They said they were going over to your old house, TJ. They offered four times asking, but then... but you weren't there, so, you know.
Well, Bobby's... shortened the story a little bit, but yes, that's kind of the gist of what happened. But we're leaving the neighborhood too. But are you liking where you moved to, like more space?
I like it a lot. I have a lot more land, a lot more privacy. It's been good. Also, the dogs are really loving it, but it's good in a lot more ways. I do miss that area a lot. It's so convenient. Although, God, I just missed the tornado. You're all about it.
Yeah.
Well, here they are, Brothers Osborne. By the way, you're going to be part of the CMT Celebrates Our Heroes, an Artists of the Year special taking place June 3rd. I'm a big fan. I love when you guys put out new music. I don't think I need to say that any more times, but I just do. I love you guys, too. And guys, good to talk to you, and hopefully I'll see you in human form soon.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Y'all stay safe. You too, Amy.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.
See you, buddy. See you, Bobby. Y'all stay good.
All right, you guys, too. I'm going to play a voicemail for you in a second. A caller asked about something I've also wondered about. And Amy, I think you're the expert on this. It's something that you ladies are doing right now. And I just didn't want to be dumb and be like, what this mean? But they're going to ask it. I'm going to play it coming up in like the next 5 minutes. First, though, Amy, let's go over to you and get the morning corny.
The morning corny.
Why should you never try to spell part backwards?
Why should you never try to spell part backwards?
Because it's a trap.
That was the morning corny.
There you go. All right, let's hear from Jenna in Oklahoma.
So I keep seeing these little beauty fridges that girls have next to their nightstand. I'm just confused when this happened. Or is it just a thing now? Let me know.
Amy, what's a beauty fridge?
There are these little teeny tiny cute fridges that you can keep in your bathroom or, yeah, like she said, by your bed. And they hold eye patches, maybe your eye cream, some lip gloss or different nail polish. Like there's all kinds of things that you can use to refrigerate that just feel good. Like for me, I don't have a little beauty fridge, but I keep my eye cream and eye patches in my refrigerator because it feels so good to put on my eye really, really cold.
So it's not like cauliflower. Girls aren't putting cauliflower in the beauty fridge next to their bed.
No, they're putting their beauty products.
Okay. I didn't know what a beauty fridge was. I didn't know why.
Yeah, they're
that,
cute.
That makes total sense, though. All right, all right.
Yeah.
The singer Rachel Platten turns 39 years old today. She had a big song in 2014 with Fight Song. That's her biggest hit to date. Some would say a one-hit wonder. This is my fight song. Take back my life song. That's that jam. So I'll play you a one-hit wonder. Just name the artists, okay? Playing is Amy, Lunchbox, and our video producer, Eddie. Can you name the one-hit wonder artist? Here you go with the first song. The song is This Is How We Do It. Can you name the artist of This Is How We Do It? All right. Pins down. Amy, you're up first. Who is that?
Montel.
Say that again.
Montel Jordan.
There you go. That is correct.
Nice.
You cut out. It wasn't that you said anything wrong. Lunchbox?
Dim Franchise Boys.
Ooh, Dim Franchise Boys. Is not right. Eddie?
Montel Jordan.
Nice. I met Montel Jordan about a year ago. I think the guy's probably 6'10". Mike,
really?
Did you look up how tall Montel Jordan is?
Wait, where did you meet him?
American Idol finale last year. He performed with one of the people.
Dang, that's cool.
No, he's 6'8". But I remember him being huge. Yeah, yeah. Huge guy. Really nice guy, too. Okay, can you name this one-hit wonder? The name of the song is Save Tonight.
Save tonight. Fight the breakup, don't come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, save tonight.
Amy and Eddie still in the game. Can you name the artist for Save Tonight?
Uh-oh.
Oh, both of you two are maybe
in. Oh, no, I'm in.
Amy, how confident do you feel?
I don't even have anything, so I guess not that confident.
All right. Save Tonight. Who sings it? Go ahead.
The Wallpaper.
The Wallpapers.
Good band.
Yeah, big fan. Eddie?
I have Eagle Eye Cherry.
Yes, correct. Eagle Eye Cherry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'd play another round, but Eddie's the winner. There he is. Eddie's the winner of the first round.
Come on.
All right, we have time for another one.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah. All right, more of the one-hit wonder game. You're just, no one's going to get the next one.
No?
I don't want to eliminate everybody, so I'm going to save that one. Let's do Whoomp. There it is. Who is the artist?
It is Hitman.
Whoop,
there it is.
This is one of those where they say the name of themselves in the song.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Bones.
Why you gotta tell them?
I got that one.
Upside down and inside out.
There! That's awesome.
Well, I told everybody. I didn't.
I know.
Tell one person. All right. Amy, how do you feel over there?
I'm in.
All right. Who do you have?
Tag team?
Yeah. Tag team. Back again. Yeah. Lunchbox?
Tag team.
Eddie?
I have tag team.
All right. Good. Do you want the one I think no one will get?
Yes.
Okay. Here is Life is a Highway. Can you name the artist of Life is a Highway?
Life is a highway. I won't ride it all night long. If you're going my way, I won't drive it all night long.
See, I thought that was a little too hard for the beginning of it.
I have a solid guess.
Yeah.
I thought it was Rascal Flatts.
Right, you can still answer that.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm going to put, but...
It's a one-hit wonder?
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles.
All right, 5 seconds, guys. Amy, your answer?
The Restorators.
The Restorators. Nice. Incorrect. Lunchbox.
Cowboy Troy.
Incorrect. Eddie?
Steve Winwood?
No. Tom Cochran.
Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's still in. I didn't think anyone would get that one.
Ugh.
Okay. Who did One of Us? The one-hit wonder, One of Us.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger.
Oh.
All the girls in high school loved her.
God had a name. Oh, wrong
I'm
verse.
In.
You know what? That one?
I love that song. Yeah, 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 yeah. What do you have over here? All right, Amy, you're up first.
Fiona Apple?
No, good guess, though. Oh. Same time frame. Lunchbox?
Christina Perry.
No, Eddie?
I have Victoria Williams.
You make that name up?
Yes.
Yeah, no. It's Joan Osborne, one Joan of us. Osborne. All right, all right, all right. Let's do another one. Okay, how about this? You'll get this one. One Hit Wonder, Bad Day. Here you go. You should get this one.
Because you had a bad day, you take it one down. A sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie. You work at a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, the camera don't lie. You come back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day.
All right, 5 seconds.
You had a bad day.
There you go. Amy, who is that?
Daniel Powder.
Correct. Lunchbox?
Daniel Powder.
Correct. Eddie?
I can't believe we all know this. Daniel Powder.
That's a softball. That's a softball. All right. One Hit Wonder-ish. I would argue this one, but okay. Okay. Stay. I Missed You. Here you go.
I turn the radio on. I turn the radio on. And this woman was singing my song. Lover's in love and the others run away. Lover is crying because the other won't stay. Some of us hover and we weep for the other who was dying since the day.
Okay. 5 seconds. Eddie's struggling over there.
I'm struggling. I don't think I have it.
I would just argue that One Hit Wonder thing, because maybe if you're just a fan of someone, you know their music better.
Oh, wait a minute.
You're not going to get it from that.
No, no, no.
It's Tom Cochran again.
So, right. Another name just popped in my head, but now I don't know what it is.
All right, everybody in. Here we go. Amy.
Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, that's it.
Dang.
Lunchbox.
Lisa Loeb.
Nice. Eddie.
Sean Colvin.
Oh, Sean Colvin did have Sonny Came Home.
So dumb. How am I out of this game?
You've been eliminated. I'm sorry.
Bye.
We only have two left. All right, can you name this one? The Cotton Eye Joe.
If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Here we go.
If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Bring it down. Five seconds.
Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? I lived there but a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Do you play this a lot when you were a DJ?
No.
Like at weddings and stuff?
Never.
Never?
No. Hated it. All right. Amy, can you get that?
Cowboy Troy? I don't know.
No, no. Lunchbox?
It's Joe Cocker.
No, no, no. It's a group called Rednecks, R-E-D-N-E-X. Oh. All right, we have one more. Do we want to do speed round on this one, you two? Or is it not fair because Amy's in a secondary studio?
We can just write it down, I mean, and we can tie, we can kiss our sister.
Well, Eddie won the first one.
Oh, yeah, so I'm a winner already.
Yeah. All right, here we go. See if you can name this one. What Is Love is the name of the song. What Is Love?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
All right, all right, all right. Amy, how you feel? Go ahead. What's your answer?
I don't feel good about it. Disco Lightning.
Ooh, wow. Lunchbox?
Night at the Roxbury.
Nope, it's a group. It's called Hathaway.
Oh!
Hathaway, yeah.
Well, you two tied. Eddie was the only one winner. Yeah. Eddie, you are being deemed the champion of the whole thing because you're the only one with a victory here. There he is. Nice job, everybody. That was a fun game for all of us to play. All right, there it is. Do you ever shut down your phone, Amy?
It's rare, but I have to when it's not working correctly.
Yeah, rare for me too. Listen, I don't shut down my computer either, and that's a bad thing to do. I just fold it down and let it go. But I was reading this whole article from these tech guys, and they say with your phone, your smartphone, there's a hard and fast rule. Once a week, shut it off. Let it rest for a couple minutes and fire it back up and then never think about it again. But once a week, and maybe it's like Sunday, you know, after church or Monday, but you kind of have a thing that you shut it off and it'll run smooth and it won't crap out on you. But it needs to be reset about once a week.
We'll see if I actually do that ever. I don't do that with my phone or computer.
I know.
Probably like you. I leave tons of like things open on my computer so I don't have to go back and open them back up.
I just forget to close them. I don't leave them up on purpose.
Oh, I do because I have Google Docs and I don't want to go back and search for the doc and open it back up. I just want everything in some Excel sheets and I just keep them all open.
I'm making a pledge right now to shut my phone and computer down once a week.
Okay.
That's all. Whoa. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So Friends, the TV show, is coming out with an official cookbook full of recipes from the show, like Monica's full-on Thanksgiving meal, Rachel's English trifle, Ross's moist maker sandwich, Joey's meatball sub, all the things.
Wow. And they'll sell a ton of those, too. Mostly, though, I bet it's coffee table books more than people actually making the recipe. Yeah,
because I wouldn't want to eat Rachel's English trifle.
No, because at the bottom of there's meat. It's like all the sweet stuff and there's meat.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be kind of fun to make just to try, but it's available for pre-order on Amazon for $30 and the book comes out September 22nd.
All right, what else you got?
So have you thought about summer vacations at all, Bobby?
No.
None? Not going anywhere? Not going to do anything?
No, I don't think that's the case. I'm not there yet.
Summer starts this weekend, officially.
Yeah, but I don't have kids, right? So, and I'm not even sure when we're taking vacation. I should look back at that. But I can make my decisions a little quicker because
That's true.
Yeah.
But people with families, they are looking at it and they realize like they're probably not going to get to go do whatever they wanted to this summer. So they're trying to think of ways to do something with their families at home. And, you know, staycation has been a thing for a while, but now it's camping in your backyard. You don't even have to go anywhere. You just get tents, you set everything up, maybe you build some s'mores or like build a fire so you can do s'mores, and then you have the convenience of your house being right there if you want to shower or go to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, you'd probably go back to the house a lot more than you think you would. But yeah, we talked about this about a month ago or so because we're talking about Bass Pro and how you could get all that stuff. And while everybody is quarantined at home or staying at home more, you can set up a tent in the backyard if, like, your kids are going crazy.
Yeah, and think of activities like catching bugs in a jar, maybe get binoculars and bird watch, like, get a Swiss Army knife and try to cut things down in the backyard.
Well, as fun as all that sounds, as someone who camped a lot as a kid, if I was near my house, I would just go back in my house for the most part. But if you're camping away, there are certain little humps you got to get over, and it makes it better, but it would be fun. I think it's a great idea. But man, who's looking forward to a staycation after having to stay at home for so long,
Oh, I know. Like, staycations were kind of a thing, and now because of this, they may not be. So Reba, the TV show, the sitcom, Reba hinted to Hoda Kotb that they may be bringing it back, but they might even do some sort of a two-hour movie to catch people up on the show. So it may be a series or it might be a movie.
Yeah, I would think if it were a movie, it would come out on Hulu or Netflix. Like, a streaming movie is a lot easier to get together quickly than a full-on production. But I love Reba the show. I still watch it on CMT sometimes.
Yeah, it's so good. Is there a show that you would want rebooted or maybe turned into a movie?
Well, it's always you want to see what's happening with everybody, right, later on. And
exactly.
I think that's why the Friends reunion was boring to me, because I don't care about the actors. I want to know what's happening with Rachel Green. You know, when they announced how the reunion was, they're all going to sit there and talk about what their lives have been since Friends. I'm like, well, that's like the 2020 special. I want to know what's happened with, you know, Chandler and Monica and how old their kid is now. And I want to see the bait. So Friends, obviously, I think the Fresh Prince will be interesting to see what Will Smith's up to now. Saved by the Bell's coming back and they're doing that. So those are the shows from my Full House a little bit. I think that would be interesting.
Oh, well, we have.
I guess
Fuller
they
House.
Did that, huh?
Yeah.
I guess most of the good ones they've done.
Yeah, check it out. No, I have one that has not been done, and I think a movie would be perfect, or maybe just an episode, is Friday Night Lights.
I never watched it, so for me.
You and Caitlin need to do that.
I don't know. You know, I should ask her if she's ever watched Friday Night Lights.
Ask her.
Because she's a humongous sports fan. I'll ask her. All right, is that it?
All right, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That
That was Amy's pile of stories.
All right, so I was reading a story. It says the cheerleading coaches are all fired at the University of Kentucky. So before I start talking about it, I want to bring in our University of Kentucky expert from Kentucky Sports Radio. This is Matt Jones. Matt, how are you, dude?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, sir?
I'm good, but tell me what happened. All I see on this headline is Kentucky fires all their cheerleading coaches for hazing, drinking, and nudity. What happened?
Well, so they apparently have at the University of Kentucky, which, as you know, has, like, the best cheerleading team in the country.
I don't know that. Are you being facetious because you...
No, I'm being serious. Like, they've won the national championship 25 of the last 30 years.
Okay.
And so it is the, just like that cheer documentary, along like that, Kentucky is that, but Division One. And so they every year have a retreat at a lake, and they invite a lot of the old alumni to come, and it's basically a big party. And according to one parent of one of the members of the team complained that there was too much partying. There was nudity, there was drinking, and the university did investigation and found that this had been going on for a long time and that the coaches knew and were even there and looked the other way, and so they ended up firing all of the coaches.
Dang, all the coaches. Now, here's what I read. On a retreat, members threw topless or bottomless cheerleaders into a lake. Tell me more about that.
So they would do these things where they called them, I think, basket throws, and they would throw... Like you throw the girls up in the air and they do spins into the lake, but apparently part of the allegation is that for women they would have to be topless and for men they would have to be bottomless. Now the cheerleaders say they didn't have to, they just did it, but that was that's how it ended up.
Amy, what do you think about this?
I don't know why I would want to see a man tossed in the air with the no pants on. He just said they had a choice. It's not like they were forced to do it, because hazing, I feel like, would be if you were told you have to do this if you want to be a part of this group. But it sounds like
the devil's in the details, right? Like, I think the students say, look, this is just something we do as like a tradition. But you don't know to what extent, if you don't do it, do they say, oh, you're the worst? I mean, who knows? But that was the big thing, the topless and bottomless. And then they also said that at a camp in Tennessee, their summer training camp, they would make new people do, the women do the routines with their skirts but with no underwear.
No. Mm-mm.
So if all this is true, do you feel like it was right that all the coaches, and I think even like an advisor, was let go?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, this is at Kentucky, these are legendary folks. I mean, that advisor started the program that won 25 national championships. The coach is like in the cheerleading world a legend. I think here's what I think happened. I think a disgruntled parent made the complaint. Once they did, the university had to look into it. And once they looked into it, they found out that the coaches were there when this happened. And even if they didn't say to do it, they didn't stop it. I just think the university didn't have a choice. It stinks because I know these coaches, and they're awesome people. And the cheerleaders, like, they're not any wilder than anybody else in college. They're just doing college things. But I think the problem is when the university knew the coaches were there and didn't do anything about it and knew it happened, I just am not sure that the university had any choice, especially since this one parent clearly was making it her mission to try to bring them down.
This one parent, I don't know if we know who that is or not. Did she have a daughter? Did the daughter get cut? Or why would they be upset?
The story is, now again, this is, I'm going to do the allegedly quotation marks, but the story is that the mother's daughter, they have a blue and a white team. The blue team is the big one. The white team is the second one. She did not make blue team, and that is when this happened.
Dang. Mm. Amy, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm torn, because I would hope that, I mean, I feel like adults should know. Like, I get kids wanting to be kids and do college things, but adults being part of you know, any girl or guy feeling pressure to do anything without underwear on, that would throw me. Like, say I was so excited to finally make the Kentucky team and I worked so hard, and then I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. And then showing up and hearing that maybe the cool thing to do, because I don't know what'll happen to me if I don't, is to do the routine with no underwear, that would make me feel really sad and awkward. But I wouldn't, as a mom, tell on anybody, or I wouldn't go tell my mom. And if my mom told any, I would beg her to please not tell.
Is the girl still on the white squad right now?
I do not know the answer to that. I mean, I think the sort of question. You know, a lot of the cheerleaders, by the way, say, I mean, the cheerleaders dispute that some of this happened. I think the cheerleaders have admitted that the whole, you know, topless and bottomless tosses in the water happened. But I think they dispute some of the other stuff. But the university is the one that said it. I think what's important now, I mean, there was no sexual assault, none of those claims. This was just kind of what I said. But, you know, listen, I mean, they fired. This is like firing the Mike Krzyzewski of cheerleading. Like, you know, if you watch the cheer documentary, they talk about that woman in Texas. There are like three legendary coaches in the country, and they just got rid of one of them. So in the cheer world, it's like Nick Saban got fired.
Wow.
Any chance this summer we throw you in a lake bottomless, Matt? We just kind of boost you up by your feet and just make,
you know, it's very unlikely, Bobby. I don't know if you know this. I'm not a strong swimmer. The bottomless is less of an issue to me than being thrown in the lake, because I'm actually not a huge diver into water. So if I had to choose between the bottomless part and the lake part, to be honest with you, I might choose the bottomless part. So I'm probably not the person that's going to happen to.
Well, there he is, Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio. Hey, throw your Instagram handle out there, Matt.
It is KY Sports Radio, and we have all of the coverage of this. By the way, if you get a chance, Bobby, read what the Louisville reporter that wrote the article. The entire cheer world has attacked one reporter because he said cheerleading was not a sport.
I think cheerleading is a sport. I think cheerleading is more of a sport than some of the things we call sports, by the way. Yeah. So, yeah, I did see that article, and then he took it down, right?
Yeah, then they took it down, and he's apologized for it. But I think, listen, I used to be that guy who was like, oh, cheerleading. When you see what these athletes do, I think it is definitely a sport.
All right, there he is. Hey, Matt, appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
All right, see you, Matt. All right, favorite movie quote of all time. Amy, you're first. Favorite movie quote.
Oh, mine is the scene in Pretty Woman where she goes back shopping and then she comes back to tell the people that didn't want to, you know, let her shop the day before that they made a big mistake. Huge.
You work on commission, right?
Yes. Big mistake. Big. Huge. I have to go shopping now.
You know, mine's not from my favorite movie, but one that I laugh at every time. And I like Zoolander. But when he's looking at the replica, and he's like, how can we teach children to learn to read if they can't even fit inside the building? Here, this is from Zoolander.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
It's a tiny replica they built to show what it's going to look like, and that one makes me laugh every time. Zoolander is very underrated as one of the great comedies. I think it's considered a really good comedy, but I think it's a really great one, kind of ahead of its time. Eddie, what do you have?
So mine's probably Bones, the biggest quote that everyone knows. It's Forrest Gump.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Come on.
What do you think is the most quoted quote of all time? Now, I don't have any data on this.
Ooh, okay.
But it's tough, though, because, you know, you look back like, here's looking at you, kid, from the 50s. Okay, let's do our lifetime. Is that the most quoted quote of all time from movies? Life is like a box of chalk. Because everybody tries to do Forrest Gump. That movie was massive. Mm-hmm. Can anyone beat that? Maybe Luke, I am your father.
That's a huge one.
What do you think?
Yes, and Bones, you can't forget the Arnold Schwarzeneggers, because those were big with the I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Oh, I'll be back is huge, too.
Or it's not a tuma. Like, remember those?
Yeah,
like, those
from Kindergarten Cop. Mike, what do you think? Let's go to Movie Mike here. What do you think the biggest movie quote of our lifetime is?
Oh, of lifetime? Well, another big one is Wizard of Oz.
Not our lifetime,
okay.
though. We're not alive during that.
I feel like it's Forrest Gump, basically because of the impression.
Because the Well, but Arnold, I'll be bought. That's a tough one too. Yeah. So we're putting Forrest Gump, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates. Arnold,
I'll be back.
And then probably Star Wars, May the Force Be With You.
Because it's a distinct voice. Or I'm Your Father. Which one? By the way, not a right or wrong answer to any of this. All right, we have three. Lunchbox, what is yours?
Oh, it's easy. It's from Braveheart when they're all gathered on the battlefield. And some of the army, they're going to turn and run. They're scared. They don't want to die. And William Wallace gives them the speech of a lifetime.
Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The question I would wonder is if they piped that horse noise in post. Because right before you hear a horse go, there's no way that happened in real life when they're shooting that show, where that horse makes that noise right there. And do you have the horse mic'd up, you know?
Oh, nice.
All the little things
mic
I
is
wonder.
Over the horse.
Mm-hmm. Morgan, number two, you're a little bit younger than us. I'm curious to what yours is going to be. What is your favorite movie quote of all time?
Well, mine would be Sweet Home Alabama, and where she says, why would you want to marry me for anyhow, so I can kiss you anytime I want? It's like, it, for me, that's one of the biggest quotes of my lifetime.
What you want to be married to me for anyhow?
So I can kiss you anytime I want.
All right, there you have it. If any of you guys can think of a bigger movie quote, call our voicemail line, like from our lifetime, 877-77-BOBBY.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Time now for the good news countdown. I got five stories, just like your host, Bobby Kasem, coming in at number five.
Number five.
With the school year winding down, Virginia Tech University granted an honorary degree to a therapy dog named Moose, who has helped thousands of students throughout the years. How awesome is that? A dog got a degree. That's like Air Bud, but the smart side. Yeah. Number four. Back in March, a guy in Atlanta launched a program called Love Sinks In to set up portable sinks that homeless people could use to help slow the spread of coronavirus and other things too. It's now expanded to 11 different cities. He said he came up with the idea after he talked to some homeless people about the virus.
This moment in time is teaching us that we're all interconnected, and that includes people without a shelter. Just because you don't have an address doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a neighbor.
Come on. All right. And number three.
Number three.
South Korea is donating 10,000 face masks and other PPE to Navajo veterans who fought in the Korean War. This marks the 70th anniversary of that, so give a shout-out to them. All right, here we go.
Number two.
A World War II vet in Indianapolis who survived Pearl Harbor just beat the virus at age 91. Robert Bates was one of only three men from his company to survive when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Wow, that's crazy. After World War II, he returned home, worked as a postal worker. He has been living in American senior communities. He's been living at American Senior Communities as a long-term care resident since 2015. He tested positive for COVID-19. He spent weeks in the hospital, but he has now returned back to his nursing home where he is healthy, on the mend, age 91 years old. Holy crap. All right, and now number one.
Number one.
A trumpet player near Sacramento, California, has been driving around looking for lawn signs that say 2020 graduate. Then he sets up outside each house and plays the graduation song. One parent posted a video of their daughter crying as she watched him. There you go. That's the top five good news countdown for today. How awesome is that final clip right there?
That's cool.
That is so cool. There you go.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
John Taffer from Bar Rescue.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I see you're in a bar right now, or does your house just look like a bar because you're the bar guy?
This is my house, actually. This is my home bar.
Dang. I bet. By the way, we have John Taffer on from Bar Rescue. So many of our listeners love this show. And I bet, though, that you are expected to have the best bar at your house since you're the bar guy, right?
I am. And so I did. I mean, I got about 300 bottles behind me. Let me see if I can give you a little look.
Holy moly. Now, while we're talking here, how much money, just roundabout here, how much money you think you've spent on alcohol in that bar right there in that house?
Truth?
Yeah.
A few hundred dollars.
Oh, you got free alcohol. See, people who don't...
A lot of this is given to me by friends.
Yeah.
But there's about, maybe 22,000 hours worth of booze here, I would guess, something like that.
Holy crap. Well, I'm super pumped to have you on for a lot of reasons. I do want to talk at first kind of about what's happening with Corona and bars, because I know Amy and I, my co-host and I, were just talking about, you know, capacities, and some bars are 25% or 50, or, you know, what are you working with, and what are you encouraging these bar owners to do in a weird time like this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They've bunched bars and restaurants together. They're not separating them when they talk to us. But if you look at the regulations, you know, you can open a restaurant, well, let's say 25% capacity or 50% capacity based upon the state you're in, but you're not allowed to have people sitting at the bar. You're not allowed to have people walk up to the bar. You're not allowed to have any standing room within the restaurant. So they've killed the bar within the restaurant. And we're not talking about that separation. There's a big difference between the way bars are being treated and the way restaurants are being treated.
Well, how would you advise they change?
Well, you know, we have a serious issue here. I'm very respectful of the science. And here's what I think. I think a third of the population is going to come out pretty quickly. I think that they feel sort of infallible. They tend to be younger. I think the next third of the population is going to wait and see for a couple of weeks. Do we have any surges, any illness, or restaurants and bars doing it right, or people wearing masks, et cetera? And then I think there's the third group, which I call the certain group, Bobby. And that group's not going anywhere until there's a vaccine or something in place. So the way the first third behaves is going to determine whether the second third comes, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm worried. You know, I'm worried, and I ask you this question, Bobby. If you were driving by a restaurant and there were a bunch of people standing in front that weren't wearing masks, would you go into that restaurant?
No, even if I was going to the restaurant and I get to the restaurant and there are a bunch of people that are just standing together, no, I would just be like, hey, this one's not for us right now.
So, and I would say the same thing. So my point is, think about this, Bobby. The restaurant could be doing everything right. They're sanitized. They're wearing masks. They did spacing. They're doing everything right. But the customers standing in front could ruin it for that restaurant. So I'm of the belief that we should wear masks. And if there isn't necessary a medical protocol, and I think there is, that if I want to get Bobby in my restaurant, it's got to look safe. It's got to be transparently safe. And customers and groups not wearing masks sends the wrong signal.
How do you feel that a lot of these bars are going to come out of this? Are you seeing a significant 50, 60% of bars that had started up that will not actually get back on their feet?
Well, in the past 3 or 4 days, I've gotten 8 or 10 phone calls from friends who are not reopening.
Wow.
And I'm concerned that maybe, you know, we were talking about losing 40% of them. You know, take a look at New York. New York is still months away from opening. We're probably going to lose 60, 70% of them there.
Well, let me ask you this, and we'll move off of this, but what do you say to people who may be hesitant about heading out to a bar or, and they're different, a bar or a restaurant?
You know, it's they should have confidence. So let me tell you why, Bobby. We've been fighting bacteria since our inception. So in the restaurant industry, we're professionals at this. We know how to wipe surfaces. We know what chemicals to use. We know how to wash our hands. We know how to separate raw product from cooked product and all the sanitizing solutions and everything that we do. So I would suggest to those people that a restaurant is far better at this than a retailer, a car dealer, or any other kind of retail or consumer store. You should trust the restaurant. Now we have to trust the behavior of the customers.
That's interesting. John Taffer is on from Bar Rescue, also has the John Taffer podcast. Well, here's a question that's not corona-related. I just turned 40 years old. I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life. And I'm wondering, if I were to have my first drink, what would you recommend for a guy that's never had a drink before? Because, you know, I don't want to get super wasted real quick, but I want it to taste pretty good.
So, you know, I would probably take you sort of in a sweet direction for the first one, Bob. I certainly wouldn't slam you with straight booze like a martini or an old fashioned. That probably would be your first and your last. But, you know, there are fun drinks. Like, I bet you'd like a pina colada.
I love a pina colada.
Pineapple coconut?
I love a virgin pina colada like crazy. I just haven't had the alcohol in it yet.
So, Take a teaspoon of alcohol. Put one teaspoon in. Try it. If you like it, put another teaspoon in. Take it a step at a time. See if you like it. I think you'll find that the right amount of rum adds a really nice flavor profile to it. And you're not going to get drunk or sick on a couple of teaspoons, buddy. So I say put your toes in the water, then jump in.
What about these alcohols that, you know, I see like Mad Men and, you know, they got the, maybe that's, is that bourbon or what about these real like Bernie alcohols? What's the hardest alcohol? Again, you're talking to a rookie here that it just takes a long time to develop a taste for it.
Well, you know, vodka tends to be the most approachable spirit. It's a clear one. It's neutral. You can put it with anything. It's very, very mixable. So vodka tends to be the kind of drink that many people start with. Rum, on the other hand, is also a white alcohol. So it goes in things like pina colada. It tends to be pretty mellow. The darker whiskeys and the darker alcohols, the brown ones, are the ones that people typically evolve into. And those would be the whiskeys, the bourbons, and darker products, Canadian whiskey, things like that.
What's the worst tasting alcohol to you?
Oh, you put me in real trouble. You know, I'm not a 101 guy. You know, I'm not a 100 proof plus kind of a guy. So I tend to like 80 proof products. But you can't corner me into a brand, buddy. I can't go there.
So these bars on this show, this bar rescue, sometimes I'm like, how in the world did they get into this bar? How do you pick bars that you're going to go into?
Well, you know, I don't pick them. I have a casting company that picks them because I don't want to know anything about them, Bobby. I think the success of the show, and we're entering our 10th year, and we're about to cross 200 episodes, which is a heck of an accomplishment in reality TV. I believe it's because it's authentic. So I have a casting company that finds the bars. I've created the criteria. There needs to be a kitchen, a certain amount of employees. They need to be in debt. They need to this. So I create that criteria, and then they go find the bars. So when I show up on set, I get about a 60-second briefing. That's it, Bobby. That's it. And then after that 60-second briefing, I go in. So I think the show's successful because I see it when you see it. I'm not ahead of you.
Let me ask you this, because this is often what I want to know. Like months later, after you finish an episode, do you feel like these places still listen to what you did and still abide by, or do you think they kind of just go back to their old ways with just some new stuff?
You know, about 67% succeed, meaning they stay open. I call it 30% don't. You know, it's funny. I can build people to Taj Mahal, Bob, but in some cases, anybody would destroy it. So it's not about a bar. It's much more about the people. You know, bars to me are logistics. It's wallpaper, finishing, lighting, sound, technology. I can build bars all day long. The question is, can I find people to run them all day long? So it isn't fixing the bar in most cases. It's fixing them.
At John Taffer on Instagram. He's got the John Taffer podcast. Obviously, Bar Rescue, Sundays at 10, 9 Central on Paramount. And let me mention this because, you know, we're all over the place. Our show's on in Atlanta, too. Taffer's Tavern, the restaurant franchise launched its first one just outside of Atlanta. I got to wonder, if you are, do you ever just pop in there and just hang out at your own place?
Of course. Of course, I want to experience it. I want to look in the faces of people. I want to talk to them. You bet I do.
Do you ever
post-pandemic is a little different, but sure.
Like undercover boss style, where you go in and don't tell them it's you. You got a hat on. You're just trying to live the life and see what's up.
I've tried that before. It doesn't work. They bust me every time, Bob, but I've tried.
Well, hey, John, it's been really great talking to you. Thanks for talking about, you know, Corona. And I feel like I got a lesson from like a master class on what alcohol to try when I finally do decide to take that first step in. And then it's great to hear how the show works, too. So thank you for your time, and stay safe, my friend.
My pleasure, buddy. Be well.
All right, see you, John.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Since Corona began, the San Antonio Food Bank has started serving twice the amount that it used to, from 60,000 people a week to 120,000. Big companies are making donations, local businesses, and now an 8-year-old girl running a lemonade stand. Chloe Robles set up shop outside of her home, selling drinks and treats to neighbors, but instead of keeping it, she donated it all to the San Antonio Food Bank. And if you wonder how much she made, what do you think, like 30 bucks, 40 bucks? She actually made $1,000, and she donated it all at 8 years old, which provides over 7,000 meals at the food bank. Chloe said it makes her happy because she was able to give a lot of people a lot of food. Chloe, Eddie, how would you say her name?
Robles. You got it.
Chloe Robles. Eddie, how would you really say it, though?
Robles.
Chloe Robles.
That's it.
Nice. All right. That listen, that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Well, this woman says Blake Shelton was trying to kill her. Did you see this story?
Oh, my gosh, no.
You tell me if you think it's Blake Shelton or not. A Hawkins County, Tennessee woman was arrested for reportedly calling 911 to report that Blake Shelton was trying to kill her. When authorities arrived at her camper, they found 48-year-old Mary Myers with slurred speech and an open bottle of vodka on her table. She also claimed, which may, because if she's accurate in these other two claims, you'll know she's probably accurate in the first claim. But she also claimed that she was dating Eric Church and that Dolly Parton was flying in to see her. She was taken into custody and charged with abusing the 911 system. All true or no?
It was totally Blake Shelton tried to kill her.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I wonder what Eric Church, her boyfriend, thinks about Blake trying to kill her. Because you got to stick up for your woman. That's Where's that song, Church? Yeah. All right, that's what's up. We're done with today. Amy, what's going on today?
Same old, same old here. Honestly, we are starting to clean out my house. So that's legit happening on my list, like starting to clean out, because I think moving gives you the motivation to do it. What about you?
I got an interview. I'm going to exercise. I was supposed to go to the brain doctor for a follow-up today to get an MRI on my head, but that got moved to Tuesday of next week. HOA Tuesday. Okay. Housewife's going booze day. Just talking about Tuesday. See, I can remember that stupid song, no problem, but I try to remember the name Al Capone, and I can't get it to come up. Although I just did. Maybe I'm getting better.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's up. Thank you guys for listening. All right, bye, everybody.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.